Please lower your head and watch your step while boarding.
Welcome to the Attractions Podcast. You are all clear for dispatch. Have fun.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode 129 of the Attractions Podcast, sponsored by Destinations with Character Travel. I'm Seth.
And I'm Carly.
And we are here again to talk to you about all the latest and greatest things in theme park news and more, as well as what's going on in our own lives. So, Carly, how have you been this past week?
I have been good, getting a lot of work done because next week you and I are going to West Coast Parks, and I am very excited.
I know. I feel like we both won the Super Bowl, and we're going to Disneyland.
Yes, going to Disneyland.
Yeah, we're going to be meeting up at Knott's Berry Farm for their media event, and then hopefully we'll get to hang out some in Disneyland Resort together.
Yes.
So very excited. Yeah, I got to spend a couple days in Cape Coral, which is a really beautiful part of Florida this week. But yeah, just like you, I'm all about prepping right. for my trip.
I'm hoping we get to go to Magic Key Terrace.
So, yes, absolutely.
I am
no longer a annual pass holder, as they call them now, magic key holders at Disneyland. So I am relying on you to be able to sneak us in there.
I think I could do it. Disneyland reservation system is so wonky in that they don't really reserve a lot of tables for advanced dining. So there's so much, you get stressed out and then you get there and everything's on the walk up.
I will
it's
tell
really
you
crazy.
The last couple of days, I've been trying to make dining reservations for Disneyland for my trip. And the only things that I was able to get was Riverbell Terrace. No Carthy Circle, no Blue Bayou.
No.
And so I'm hoping that there will be walk-up availability
because
it's really hard to get that stuff.
Absolutely.
In
and the Carthy Circle is almost always on walk-up. So I think that won't be a problem. Blue
Good
Bayou,
to know.
You know, is not
Good
really.
To know. You know
really
what?
Really ever pops up on there.
Here's a secret. Blue Bayou's overrated.
I agree.
You're paying for the view.
I agree completely.
Just ride pirates again instead.
Yeah.
All right. Without any further ado, let's get into the news. Okay. Well, I am trying to click on to show this screen, but I can't right now. For some reason, StreamYard is not playing nice, and I am having a little trouble adding to the stream. There we go.
That's
what I wanted to see. Disneyland Paris has ended its face mask requirement as of March 2nd. In following with French government guidance, Disneyland Paris has dropped the requirement for face masks for guests in the park. They're still recommended while you're gathering for parades and spectaculars. And the vaccine pass, which proves that you either have full vaccination or recovery or exemption, is still required for all guests age 16 and over, but the masks are now optional.
Yes. And so it's a little confusing because, you know, Universal Studios Hollywood, you've been having to show your vaccine at entrance.
Mm-hmm.
In Paris, for people visiting, you actually have to go obtain a pass and vaccine pass. So I believe you could just walk into a pharmacy, you show them, mm-hmm. you know, your information. So it is a little different. You can't just roll up to the gates of Disneyland Paris and say, oh, here's my, you know, vaccination status. Mm-hmm. You actually have to go get a pass, which I think is important, you know, to know if you're planning.
Yeah, extra hoop to jump through if you are planning a trip to Paris, which our friends at Destination with Character Travel could certainly help you with. Also keep in mind that visitors between the age of 12 and 15 are required to show not a vaccination pass, but a health pass, which is either proof of vaccination or a negative PCR antigen test within the last 24 hours. Obviously, if you are planning a trip to Disneyland Paris, check out the full details on their website. But going along with this, Paris has also started allowing guests to hug their characters again. They've relaxed their policy regarding interactions with characters, and guests can once again meet, greet, and hug many Disney friends. Social distancing has been removed in the Paris park, so you got your autograph book, or you just want to hug Mickey or Minnie, your opportunity has returned.
Right, and it's so wild because I feel like this is a prime case of us, you know, we didn't know how good we had it. Just being, you know, I took advantage of it. You know, there's Minnie, whatever, walk on by. And so now it's everyone that was so hyped about this news. Yes. You know, it's just, it's a big deal. It feels like we're moving in the right direction.
Now, the last we reached out to Walt Disney World, they still had not changed their official policy inside the parks. We did note that inside Star Wars Galactic Star Cruiser, during that experience, you are allowed to make physical contact with some of the performers. But for right now, the domestic Disney parks, the hugs are not yet back. I know there was a controversial thing going around on social media about recently about a TikTok video of some little girl trying to hug Winnie the Pooh and getting denied.
I saw that. Yeah, it was very sad to watch.
And you know, some of that is not necessarily about COVID, but just about kids cannot sprint through the parks at any time and tackle right. the characters because it can be a safety issue. Those characters cannot see anything. So, you know, being bear hugged by a sprinting 5-year-old can be dangerous.
Right, but hopefully, especially with that character dining too, you know.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Bashing into people.
But hopefully this is a sign that slowly but surely the full character experience is coming back to the Disney parks worldwide. All right. Next up, the Disney Cruise Line is also making face masks optional. As of March 11th sailings, those are sailings going out next week, face masks are now optional in indoor locations aboard the Disney Wonder, the Disney Magic, the Fantasy, and the Dream. The one big exception is inside the Walt Disney Theater, where guests age 2 and up are still required to wear face masks.
Yes, yeah, so it's kind of... they're kind of going away, but they're still very much present. If you're going on the Disney Cruise Line, you know, bring your mask. Cause I believe when you embark and disembark, I think you also mm-hmm. have to wear a mask then too. So they're sort of away in the most.
Yes, absolutely. You're still going to have to pack those masks. You are correct. Cruise terminals are still considered part of the federal transportation system. And just like airports. And for now, masks are still required during embarkation and disembarkation. But this is definitely, you know, I'm sure there are a lot of guests who did not want to cruise while having to wear masks indoors. I'm a little torn on this because kind of during the peak of the pandemic, one of the first couple of vacations I took were cruises, not Disney cruises, another cruise mm-hmm. line. But I actually felt really comforted and safe by the fact that there was thorough enforcement of masking rules. And I felt like that cruise ship was kind of a little bubble. And right. to be honest, you know, masks, even beyond when COVID's all said and done, it's the first time in I've gone 2 years without getting a cold. You know, and every time I go on one of these vacations, especially a cruise where you're really close to lots of strangers, I always seem to have the sniffles for a week afterwards. So
yes, I have no problem with it. You know, let's act like Asia. You know, if we're on those crowded subways, I am fine yep. with that because yep. I don't want to be near anyone. But yeah, I mean, that's what everyone's kind of said of that they've gone on cruises is the general consensus is they felt really safe. There's rigorous
yes.
hoops you have to jump through before even getting on board. So
yep. And speaking of that, even though the face masks are optional indoors now on the ship, they are still enforcing right now the vaccination proof rules. You can get those full details by visiting DisneyCruiseLine.com. And if you are on a sailing from March 11th on, you've already booked, you should have already received a C-mail alerting you to the changes. Next up, Disneyland has announced the first ever Disney Junior Fun Fest. It's going to take place at Disney California Adventure Park on April 29th only. It's a one-day event from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. celebrating favorite stories from the number one preschool network's hit series. And it's going to include games, music, trivia, special announcements, and it all kicks off with a star-studded cavalcade of Disney Junior characters making their way through the park.
Yes, I think this is so cool because if you've ever been inside Disney Junior Dance Party there, they've done such a great job with it at California Adventure. So to bring this to other, you know, areas of the park, I think it's great. I mean, it's one day, so it's a start. So hopefully they'll, you know, rev this up. And that Alice Wonderland's birthday party, I've been seeing pictures from it. It's part of the Food and Wine Festival, but it'll also be part of the celebration. And I think kids get a complimentary cupcake, you know, which you don't get anything for free anymore. So, and it looks really nice.
I have, you know, we did talk about that Alice's Wonderland Bakery Unbirthday Party. It's a cupcake decorating experience. I have to clarify, I have to dig into that to see if that is complimentary or if that is one of the little upcharge things, sort of like the scavenger hunts that they have at Epcot. But I believe it is, if it is a charge, it's a modest cost for the experience.
Yes, I think you just have to sign up in advance.
Oh, okay, that's great. Hardly ever get anything free in the Disney parks. No. So. Definitely check that out. You'll also be able to enjoy the Disney Junior Dance Party show. And I will tell you, even on a normal day, you've got to line up for that well before. That is an e-ticket for the preschool set. And those shows always fill up. Personally, as an adult who has no small children around, I go and see that show about once a year, just keep updated on it, feel a little awkward, kind of hang out in the back.
Oh, try I hang not to, I not hang to be creepy. The air conditioning's going, the vibe is good.
But great energy, really interactive. They've updated it throughout the years as characters have changed. And if you're a fan of Disney Junior, April 29th is the day that you are going to want to visit the park. You can check out Disneyland's Facebook page for more details. Next up, Pocahontas Colors of the Wind light show has debuted at Epcot as part of the Flower and Garden Festival, which is currently going on at Epcot. Spaceship Earth has gotten another limited time light show. Previously, during the Festival of the Arts, we saw a really wonderful Muppet themed Rainbow Connection light show on Spaceship Earth. And now we have Colors of the Wind from Pocahontas, running a little 5-minute show, runs from around sunset to shortly after park closing, and definitely worth checking out.
Absolutely. And it's, you know, we're finally seeing Spaceship Earth reach its full potential. I mean, what they have done has been amazing. I like, no matter how many times I see it, I still stand and look up at it, and it's just amazing. The Rainbow Connection was so good. And this one is, you know,
I got teary watching it.
Same. And it's, you know, it hits you every single time. So, I mean, what they're doing with the lights and everything, I mean, it's incredible to see.
Yeah, this is kind of an offspring of the Beacons of Magic that they added for the 50th anniversary. They added special lighting effects to the icons at all four parks. But the Spaceship Earth light shows, they've really taken full advantage of these. It's just beautiful, the colors, and it's short. Like I said, it runs every 10 to 15 minutes. So you might have to hang out for a little bit, but definitely worth slowing down your roll on the way out of the park to catch this.
Absolutely. And now you'll see so many people just kind of hanging back and waiting for it. So it's kind of become its own little nighttime spectacular, and they've done a great job with it.
It's kind of like the Epcot equivalent to the Kiss Goodnight that they've got at Magic Kingdom. So
it is,
great way to end your night.
Great pictures too. So,
we're leaving Disney for a bit and we're going to head to iDrive in Orlando, where a foodie walking tour has come to Icon Park. Flavors of Icon Park walking tour is taking foodies on a culinary adventure with tastings and a history lesson at 8 different dining outlets around International Drive's Icon Park. This is, of course, the home to the Big Wheel and also the Slingshot and Drop Towers that I recently survived. I gotta say, usually when I'm at this place, it's usually for some thrill ride, but they've also got a great lineup of food. And as of March 1st, they've started taking guests on these sampling journeys that will check out some of the restaurants, including the new Gordon Ramsay's Fish and Chips.
Yes, and it's kind of a nice, diverse lineup. There's a Sloppy Joe's there, too, mm-hmm. so you can get some, you know, flavors of Key West. And then there's Blake Shelton, Old yep. Red, which has incredible live music, and it's more leaning towards, you know, Southern food and barbecue. So I think this is a really cool, you know, food crawl because you can get the fish and chips. It's kind of a nice diversity. Yep. So
other items on this tour are Tin and Taco, Brick and Fire Pizza, Sandwich Station, Let's Just Bake, and iCafe de Paris. You're definitely, it sounds like you're going to be full, but yes. if you still have room after this, taking the tour, you'll get a 10% discount if you go back to any of these restaurants. It takes about 90 minutes to 2 hours, and it is going to depart from the Wheelhouse, which is the base of the big wheel, every Tuesday evening at 6:30 p.m. You got to make an advance reservation at originalorlando.com if this is something you're interested in. Okay, and heading back to Disneyland for the first time ever, Floral Minnie Mouse is greeting Disneyland guests. Yes, Mickey Mouse himself has held court at the front gate of Disneyland since opening day on July 17, 1955. But to kick off Women's History Month, Disneyland Resort changed it out, the iconic floral Mickey Mouse design, to floral Minnie Mouse for the first time.
Yes, I love this. And I mean, that shot right there, that's, you know, when families enter, that's the first picture you're going for. And I think it's so cool that they put Minnie there, and we're going to see it next week. So, yes. you know, I feel like pictures don't do that justice because it is really beautiful the way, you know, the horticulturists landscape that. So I'm excited to see it in person.
Well, it took a 13-member team working throughout the night on March 1st to make Floral Minnie appear in front of the Main Street USA Disneyland Railroad Station. And the design includes over 1,750 individual plants, including 750 pink Nemesia plants in Minnie's bow alone. So if you want to see this, she'll be up throughout Women's History Month, which is March. And of course, destinations with character travel can help you get there.
Right. Maybe she'll stick around a little longer. You know, we'll find
hopefully.
Out.
Hopefully this will become an annual tradition. Okay. Heading to the Midwest, Cedar Point opens its 2022 season with 6 new offerings. The iconic roller coaster park in Sandusky, Ohio, has renovated 2 hotels, opened 2 new dining outlets, has reimagined a shop, and has added a spectacular multi-sensory parade to its 2022 season lineup, which is kicked off.
Yes, the parade looks really cool because it's a celebration of nostalgia, you know, all the mm-hmm. history of the park. So I'm excited to see, you know, exactly how these massive floats are going to reflect the history. Are they going to be coaster themed? You know, I think that could be really cool. And then you have the peanut shop. So, I mean, everyone loves peanuts.
Everyone loves peanuts. Yes. So yes, Celebrate Cedar Point Parade and Spectacular is celebrating the park's history with 12 massive floats that are going to travel along the main Midway, highlighting major moments from the park's history and also major park landmarks. That's really cool. I wish that Disney parks would do a parade about Disney parks.
Right.
Wouldn't that be amazing? yeah, I love it. I love it when a park, especially one that has been around for as long as Cedar Point, kind of invests in their own history and nostalgia and, you know, reminds guests of the old times.
Right. And I mean, that's why we're all keep coming back. You know, it's all about the memories. So I wish, you know, Disney leaned into that for their 50th, but we'll wait.
We'll leave that at there. But in addition to that parade, the Castaway Bay Indoor Water Park Hotel has gotten a multi-million dollar renovation. Sawmill Creek, which is a 10-minute drive from the park, has a 18-hole Tom Vazio designed golf course, along with new dining opportunities and 2 new dining outlets, a farmhouse kitchen and grill in Frontierland, and also a new Derby Dog and Coasters drive-in. So along with the new Peanuts at the Point Snoopy Boutique. Lots of stuff to check out at Cedar Point this season. You can head on over to cedarpoint.com for more information.
Yes, and I think they're going cashless now when they start the season.
Yes. So
that's something to keep in mind. I think they'll give out prepaid debit cards, something along those lines.
Yeah, there are, I believe, ATM-style machines yes. where if you are not into swiping and tapping, where you can get a prepaid debit card and load it up with cash. But otherwise, yeah, they have gone cashless, which hopefully that will help speed up the lines a little bit
yes,
at the
we hope
cash so. Registers. All right. Disney Plus parental controls have been enhanced as adult Marvel titles are added. The addition of Daredevil, Jessica Jones, Luke Cage, Iron Fist, The Defenders, The Punisher, and Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. to the already expansive Disney Plus Marvel library on March 16th, 2022 will trigger enhanced parental controls that will prompt all subscribers to update their settings. Okay, this might be a little confusing. Here's the deal. There are several Marvel shows that used to be on Netflix, which were designed for a more adult audience, specifically Daredevil, Jessica Jones, had some very mature themes.
Yes.
great shows. Highly recommend them if you have not seen them. Those have all been removed from Netflix. They are going to be joining the Disney Plus lineup in America on March 16th. I believe in some other countries, they've already been added to that lineup. But up until now, Disney Plus has not carried anything that was more than PG-13 or TV-14. Right. So in order to make room for these more adult shows, everyone who logs into Disney Plus from March 16th on is going to have to make some changes to their account, either acknowledge that they're an adult and that they want to see these shows, or set up a pin and create profiles to lock out the younger members of your family from being able to see these shows. But either way, be prepared. If you log in on or after the 16th, you're going to have to answer some questions before you can go on and keep watching your Disney Plus shows.
Right, exactly. So it's going to be a prompt. It's not just like, mm-hmm. oh, I can't access Agents
yes.
of S.H.I.E.L.D. You know, so you will have to actually... You
yes.
know, do it.
Now, I do believe that if you were to ignore these prompts or bypass them, it will default to a TV-14 content
yes.
rating. But you can still use the settings on either the app, if you're using this on a smart TV, or logging into the website to adjust your parental settings at any time. And I am looking forward to catching up with... I really enjoyed, especially Daredevil and Jessica Jones. Some of the other shows, not quite so much.
Yes.
But I'm hoping that adding these to Disney Plus means that these characters maybe will start showing up in some new content.
Yes.
Just like we got to see Matt Murdock in the latest Spider-Man movie. So I hope that means that more is in store for his character.
Exactly. Yeah, I'm starting the Marvel Cinematic Universe from the beginning, phase one. So now I'm like, oh, I'm happy Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is on here. I'm going to try to... watch that with it too.
I will say you don't necessarily have to watch everything in the entire universe.
I know, but
it's
I want
universe.
To. It's such a big
not all great. Moving right along. Stan Lee, speaking of Marvel, is being honored at Avengers Campus in California Adventure with a new plaque. Stan the Man Lee, who is known as the comic book writer behind hundreds of Marvel characters, including the Avengers, was remembered recently with a plaque honoring his legacy installed at the entrance of Avengers Campus in Disney California Adventure Park at Disneyland Resort. Stan is very well known, very recognizable from his many cameos
yes,
in the Marvel Cinematic Universe films. And he is now forever remembered with a plaque that reads, "We dedicate Avengers Campus to the incomparable Stan Lee, that person who helps others simply because it should or must be done and because it is the right thing to do is indeed, without a doubt, a real superhero. Thank you, Stan, for inspiring the hero within each of us. You made us all true believers."
Oh, I just love what it says, and I can't wait to see it in person. I mean, what a beautiful tribute to him. And, you know, his cameos are legendary. That's half the fun
yep.
in watching it, to see if you can spot him.
You know, he led a really interesting life. I highly recommend, if you're interested in the history of comic books, to start read some of the books written about him. Not entirely uncontroversial, but you know, in his later years, he certainly became like the beloved grandpa of comic book fandom, and definitely miss his cameos in the films.
Yes,
I don't believe that there are any cameos of him in Avengers Campus, but if you are interested in seeing a Stan Lee cameo inside a theme park, check out the Amazing Adventures of Spider-Man ride. Yes. At Islands of Adventure, he is in there all over the place. You hear, yes, his voice, you see him driving a garbage truck, you see him going on a date.
The truck is my favorite because he has those big kind of like grandpa shades on, and it's, yes, just
but it's like, 1 second he's driving the truck, the next he's going to a movie with his girlfriend, the next he's hanging out with the cops. He is all over the place.
He is.
We love you, Stan. All right. Riptide Race, Dueling Flume Ride, has made a splash at Aquatica San Antonio. As of the day we're recording this, March 5th, Aquatica San Antonio is open for the season, and Riptide Race, the new pipeline slide, has debuted. This is a first of its kind ride for San Antonio. It is a dueling slide where they've designed it so the walls are low enough that you can actually see the slider that you're competing against. A lot of so-called dueling slides, you're just in a tube or a tunnel and you never really see. But here you'll be able to see the people going down two-person rafts alongside you through a 565-foot slide coming down from the top of a 55-foot tower.
Yes, I mean, I love when I read that the slide walls were low, that is the coolest thing, because when you go on, you know, dueling water slides, dueling roller coasters, am I really dueling you? I can't see.
Right, you know? Exactly.
Did you launch before me? I don't know. So can't, I think, tell. This is the coolest part about it, is you can actually, you know, see your competition. Although I don't know if I'm going to be turning my head as, mm-hmm, I'm racing down this slide.
Well, the height requirement for this one is only 42 inches. So this should be fun for a good portion of the family. And along with opening this water slide, they're also opening a full service Turi's Beach Bar yes, adjacent to the Big Surf Shores wave pool. So if you don't want to wait in line for the slide, you can grab a mixed drink or cocktail and hang out, maybe even rent a private cabana to chill in.
Right. You just get some tropical drinks and you could just people watch.
Yeah. If you are a Aquatica annual pass member or season pass member, you can get exclusive ride time on Riptide Race throughout the summer. And for a limited time, they're giving people who purchase a SeaWorld San Antonio season or annual pass an Aquatica pass for free. So head on over to AquaticaSanAntonio.com for more information. And we are going to finish off the news in the queue with what's new at Busch Gardens Food and Wine Festival. Yep, Busch Gardens in Tampa has brought back their popular Food and Wine Festival starting on March 11th. And this year, they've got 20 new sampling dishes, 22 live concerts, plus the grand opening of the all-new Iron Gwazi.
Yes, I love this press image that they're using with all the dishes in front of Iron Gwazi and some of the new foods. There's a sour orange glazed burnt ends pork belly, which sounds, yes, incredible. There's urban duck fries, which I can't wait to see a picture of that when the festival launches.
Oh, but don't forget the Flamin' Hot Cheetos, oh, Elote Street Corn.
I wanted to forget that, though.
Which that one might stick with you for a day or so. Yeah, after.
That might be a pass.
I think Flamin' Hot Cheetos are one of those things that you either love or you don't.
Right, how many,
you know who you are.
How many food festivals are now we going to see with things dusted with Flamin' Hot Cheetos, crumbles, mac and cheese? I mean, it kind of never ends.
Well, if you do have a sweet tooth, they've got some new sweet treats, like a dark chocolate truffle tart, brownie Funday, not a sundae, but a Funday, orange creamsicle, strawberry shortcake, flavored cupcakes, and a bourbon pecan pie. That sounds
good. Okay, that sounds
to me.
Amazing. Yeah. But I am excited for the cocktails because
oh yeah,
if they're themed to a roller coaster, I am in. And there's an iron gauzy fizz with gin that looks really refreshing.
I think I might be trying the Jack Daniels based hybrid heat because I'm a bourbon fan. But they've got 25 different foods, 44 different beverages to check out. If you want to save a little money, invest in one of their sampling lanyards where they start at $65 for 10 samples or $80 for 15 samples. And if you are a past member, you can get an 18 sample lanyard for the price of a 15, which is a nice little discount.
Good deal.
And they're doing, over the course of 11 weeks, 22 concerts coming. Average of two a week. And you've got everyone from Sean Paul, Three Doors Down, Kansas Air Supply, and even the Purple Experience Prince Tribute, which I've actually seen video of this, a really impressive Prince, I don't know, is the word impersonator?
Prince Tribute Artist. Impersonator, but it's been made into a show.
Yeah. So this all starts March 11th. It goes all the way through May 22nd. As always, you know, being able to see the concerts is included in the park admission, though you can pay extra if you want a reserve seat. And more information, head on over to bushgardens.com. All right. So we have come to the end of the news in the queue. But before we get into this week's main attraction, I think we need to hear a quick word from our sponsor.
Here at Destinations with Character Travel, we offer the best experience with your travels. Need to visit the thrilling Disneyland Resort, Walt Disney World? Maybe lounge about on a Disney cruise or any other major cruise line? No problem. So if you're looking for a stress and hassle-free vacation, visit us at www.destinationswithcharacter.com. Contact us today and let us plan a magical vacation for you and your family.
Bringing you your top news story of the week, whether from your backyard or from around the world, it's time for the main attraction!
And this week's main attraction, we've got a sneak peek at the Guardians of the Galaxy Cosmic Rewind boarding area. Recently, Imagineer Zach Ridley shared a sneak peek at the roller coaster's boarding area for the highly anticipated ride that is scheduled to open this summer at Epcot in Walt Disney World.
Yes, I mean, this looks incredible. I'm getting a little bit of Web Slingers boarding area.
I was just going to say, if Test Track and Web Slingers had a baby, this is what their boarding area would look like.
Yeah, that was the first thing that struck my mind. And I mean, I can't wait for this poster to open. And, you know, so, that was the best.
For those of you who are not watching the video version, if you're listening on the podcast, just describe when we say Web Slingers, I think we're both referring to the color scheme, which is very bold red and blue with a kind of industrial rusty gray in between. It's got a chunky industrial feel, similar to that the Web Slingers ride, and also similar to kind of the Test Track, but a more modern look to it. Some dramatic lighting, you know, it's a single load station, and the interesting thing is, well, we can't really tell if this is both a boarding and unload station, or do we know if there's a separate unload station?
We don't, I don't believe, but yeah. I was kind of going under the assumption that there was going to be a separate
unload station.
Yeah, just based on what we've seen so far, but I mean, we could be wrong.
Yeah. In addition, Walt Disney Imagineering has posted a short video on Instagram that gives us a little glimpse of the ride vehicles coming into the boarding station and dispatching. Yeah. If you didn't know, they've referred to these ride vehicles as Omnicoasters, similar to the Omnimovers in rides like the Haunted Mansion. This is not a free spinning coaster, but a coaster where it can be programmed to turn and point you in a specific direction at any point along the track.
Right.
So
the Star Jumper, I believe.
This might be the first time that we've gotten that name. Did we hear that name Star Jumper before?
I think it was buried in this information that came out. But yeah, so it's similar to like the Haunted Mansion, but it's also, if you've been on Crush's Coaster at Disneyland Paris, it is like if the two came together and made a family-friendly roller coaster. And Crush's is a family roller coaster, but with the Haunted Mansion thrown in there, you know, because like you said, it's programmed. So you're not just free spinning. You're going to be facing whatever the direction of the storyline
is. And I will say this coaster does not go upside down. It does have a big backwards launch, which is a big signature feature, but isn't going to flip you upside down. So we don't have the older over the shoulder restraints. I did get a chance to sit in one of these vehicles at the Destination D23 event, and I did find them very comfortable, and I think they're pretty easy to get in and out of. So hopefully looking this is a setup for a load station that will be able to process a lot of people. Hopefully, you know, 17, 18, even 2,000 people an hour, fingers crossed, so that the lines for this aren't too crazy. Another thing that we did not mention in this article, but it kind of slipped out, a Disney executive recently got to test the ride and posted on social media that it would be opening by Memorial Day weekend, and then very quickly removed that tweet. So take that with a grain of salt. Obviously not an official piece of information, but Memorial Day would be a great time to kick off a ride that's here for the summer season.
Yeah, so it would be. And, you know, maybe we'll see some annual pass holder previews, like Remy's, you know, so I'm hoping for that.
Yes, I think we can expect that they really want this to open smoothly. So there should be a long, healthy test and adjust period. We know that there's lots of people internally who have gotten to ridden this, and the buzz is fairly positive. No spoilers. No. But they're going to want to keep running this and running this and running this so that when the official opening day comes, it all runs smooth and they don't have headlines about, you know, the new ride breaking down.
Right. With Disney Genie and, you know, those time windows.
Absolutely.
We just can't afford a 4-hour breakdown period.
Yeah. But I'm getting excited for this one. It's been a long time coming, and honestly, I've always been kind of apprehensive about, you know, the original mission of Epcot: education, slow moving, elaborate dark rides being replaced with thrill rides. You know,
right.
But you know, that's where we're going, and if that's where we're gonna go, then at least they're putting a lot of time and effort and care into construction of this. Speaking of time and effort and care, we should also maybe mention a little controversy lately about an iconic spaceship that has been installed in front of the. I think maybe people were confused, not realizing that's not a real spaceship. It's just a prop that's meant to. It represents one of the Nova spaceships seen in the Guardians of the Galaxy film, but it's been, you know, put out kind of as a beacon, a weenie out in front of the attraction. But I think a lot of people were confused or disturbed about the support structure that was put in. People were complaining about it even before it was finished. We still can't say that it's completely finished now.
Right. And it doesn't look bad. I don't think it looks bad at all.
I don't know.
Go on the monorail loop above it and you could see over. It looks good to me. And yes, maybe it looks different than the artistic renderings we saw while ago, but also we don't know if it's finished. It's March, you know,
I would ask everyone to keep in mind this, that we have things like hurricanes here in Florida. And that if you want to put something that's basically a giant Christmas ornament out in front of an attraction, you really got to make sure it's secured down and is not going to go flying anywhere. So if the supports for it are not as delicate and thin as seen in the concept art, if that's what it takes to keep it from crushing a small child, I'm okay with that.
Right. There's a reason, you know.
Exactly.
And again, it looks good when you see it in person, whatever it is as of now, it looks fine. Looks really good.
So yeah, I would say my level of hype for Guardians of the Galaxy Cosmic Rewind was fairly mild. And each time we get a little bit another tidbit, I'm more and more excited to finally get on board.
Yeah. It's not Tron level, but it's getting up there.
No, but it's also coming a lot sooner than Tron. So.
Right. Oh, God.
Anyway. Well, this has been great. I want to, before we go, first of all, I want to give some shout outs to a few of our faithful listeners out there, three of them in particular this week: Leslie J. Johnson, Thomas Dixon, and Kathy Camp. Thank you so much for supporting us. And then before we go, I want to give one last thank you to our sponsor, Destination with Character Travel. And once again, I want to remind everyone, please give us a review on Apple Podcasts and please leave us a rating on Spotify. It really helps us get the word out and connect with more listeners. And finally, if you want to find out more about us, hear more from us, learn more about attractions on the interwebs, Carly, where can they find you?
Yes, it is Carly Caramana on Twitter. And on Instagram, it's Adventures by Carly. And you'll want to follow us because next week we will be at Knott's and Disneyland. And I'm sure both of us will be posting a ton of content from our adventure.
Yeah. Well, you can find me at theunofficialguides.com, at the UG series on Twitter, where I will definitely be tweeting from Disneyland, and at the Unofficial Guides on Instagram. Also, you can find Attractions Magazine at attractionsmagazine.com, at Attractions on Twitter, at Attractions Magazine on Instagram, and on youtube.com/attractionsmagazine. Finally, until next week, I hope that you guys stay safe, try something new, most importantly, have fun, and we will see you next time. Bye. Bye. We'll be right back.